Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on February 9th, 2009. Sorry for the delay there in getting ready. Glad to have everyone here, and we appreciate your comments on any of the items that you would like to speak on this evening. And as we begin our meeting, would you stand for a prayer and pledge of allegiance, please?
Lord Heavenly Father, as we gather here tonight, we ask for your presence to be in this room, to guide, direct, and to show us every step of the way how to continue to make Aiken a great community for everyone. Lord, in the midst of economic problems and rumors of problems, we just ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct us and show us how we should use our finances to the best way to serve our citizens here in Aiken. Give us a heart to serve and to be there for others. And we thank you, Lord, for your continued guidance with each and every one here within our community. We thank you for all those that serve our community, for all those who volunteer to be with us and to help us along the way. Guide our council members tonight as they look at each and every one of these issues before them. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any additions or deletions necessary on the agenda this evening? As written. If not, show of hands. Do we have a motion and a second to accept the agenda as is?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, show of hands now for approval. Okay, it's approved. Minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of January 26, 2009. Any comments there? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Move for adoption, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Approved. Unanimously approved. We're fortunate tonight to have some presentations. We always enjoy this time. We want to recognize four former board and commission members this evening. And Mr. LeDuc, would you like to say anything on this issue, sir?
We have many volunteers that work very hard in helping to guide our policies that we have within the city of Aiken. They put in countless hours helping staff and helping city council with the decisions that they have to make. Once a year we do honor them at a luncheon that we have in the spring. By the way, that'll be the third Thursday in April that we'll be having that luncheon. But tonight we'd like to recognize those that in 2008 either had to resign or were no longer able to serve on these boards and commissions. I was told already about one that we missed, but these are the ones that we have available tonight that we'd like to go ahead and recognize and to honor.
Okay.
So with that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to go down to the other mic. Just a minute. As Roger said, we certainly value all of our volunteers. We could not do without our volunteers, believe me. We've got about 13, I think, committees that help City Council with the various issues around the city. And we certainly appreciate all of our volunteers. As I call your name, please come up, and I want to give you your certificate and shake your hand, and again, thank you for service to us. To our wonderful city. Is Michael McGee here? Okay, Michael's not here. Bernice Sanders? No, she's here. Bernice has served from March 5th, 2002 to March 25th, 2008 on the Accommodations Tax Committee.
Bernice, thank you so much for your service to the city.
appreciate it very much.
Is Stephen Anaclario here? There he is. Stephen Anaclario has served on the Design Review Board from May 9, 2005 to December 31, 2008.
Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great.
Mary Ellen Krippner is not here, but her husband and her daughter is here. And let me just say this up front, and Henry, if you would like to, or Sue, you'd like to say anything, you may. Mary Ellen is not in good health at all, and just ask for prayers of everyone for her health, and for her recovery, and for her to not be in pain any more than necessary as she goes through the situation that she's going through. But Mary Ellen served the Arts Commission from March 14, 2005 to October 1, 2008. And at one time she was a vice chair of that committee, and during 1 year she served as chair of that committee. And we certainly appreciate her, as we do all of the committee members, as I've stated before. And she was certainly she was a charter member of the Arts Commission. And she certainly had a lot of good ideas and a lot of good advice. And with that, Henry, Sue, would you come up, please? This is Sue Shannon, Mary Ellen's daughter. Thank you. Please wish your mom well for us, please, if you will. Under old business, first item, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to lease property on Price Avenue to J. Watts for Aiken Compounding Pharmacy Building. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance authorizing the lease of city property located at the corner of Price Avenue and Colony Parkway to Aiken Compounding Pharmacy for a parking area. Mr. Watts was in to see council several months ago, asked that you would consider leasing a portion of the property at that corner at Price at Colony Parkway, so that he could go ahead and have a few parking spaces there and also a drive-through at the pharmacy. Most all of you have been by his location. He has done a tremendous amount of work there. It will cost another $20,000 to put in the proper landscape and irrigation system at that corner for him to meet his obligation. Therefore, because of the large amount of money that's going to be put in to beautify that area, we thought the lease per year should be at the lower end. Now, if we were going to put the landscaping in, then we would charge him a much higher amount, but we felt it was more fair, since this was his project, for him to put the work in and have the lower lease per year. So the lease per year would be $600. He'd be paying a couple times a year on that lease. And so over a 10-year period, we'd be receiving $6,000. But more importantly, it's beautifying the area, and it's helping out a small business in that area. So for City Council approval, this ordinance was received on first reading at the last meeting. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve a lease agreement between Aiken Compounding Pharmacy and its owner, Jay Watts, in the City of Aiken, for the corner of Price Avenue, Colony Parkway, for $600 a year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. This is a second reading public hearing of this ordinance, so if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve an ordinance authorizing the lease of city property located at the corner of Price Avenue and Colonial Parkway to Aiken Compounding Pharmacy for a parking area.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments? Discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under new business, first item is the first reading of an ordinance to modify $170,000 loan agreement with the Aiken Corporation. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. This and the next ordinance could really be considered in companion, but I wanted to have them separately in case council had a decision on either one of them. The first one is an ordinance authorizing Aiken Corporation to borrow $170,000 from the City of Aiken Fund for the purpose of funding the renovation of housing in the Carlson Park and Edgewood section of Aiken. Let me first of all start off by, this came to my attention a few weeks ago. Originally, Aiken Corporation was going to ask the City Council for some funds to complete the railroad depot, and or to borrow some funds to complete it. At that time, I was looking through the various loan agreements that we had given them so far, and there was four of them. One of them was for the money at the theater. Then we had the $67,500 that we gave them for the Blue House. And then there was the Tool Hill, and there was a fourth one. I just can't remember. That one's been paid. Of $250,000, of which $170,000 was for Tool Hill, and then $80,000 for projects on the north side. The $67,500 also was tied just to the Chesterfield Street area. In looking at those and realizing that just last week we talked about Carlson Park and the work that's going to be done, and that they're going to be lending us the money to go ahead and get started with the loans. We have already applied for grants to go ahead and start housing in Edgewood. Realize they can't do that, or they're very limited on what they could do based on the existing loans we have here. So if they're going to go ahead and work with the City of Aiken on Carlson Park and work with us on Edgewood, just like they did in Tool Hill, and in Tool Hill we wound up building around 20 homes through them being able to get grants from the state, we can't do that under the way that the structure is of those loans. So what I did is I modified it. I didn't modify it to a great deal because I felt there is some good reason to go ahead and make this somewhat narrow in the decision. In other words, right now, initially, $67,500 Chesterfield area. And there is actually a map showing the area that they could work in. We could say the entire north side, but there may come a time when you don't want that money to be used for the entire north side or for another area of the city for whatever reason, and maybe this council or one in the future. It also said that the money can be called at any time by the city, and they have up to 2 years to do this, and I think that's good because it continues to allow council to guide and direct where you want that money to be used. So what we have done here is we've taken both loans, the $250,000, which is the one you're looking at right now, and then the next one is the $67,500, and modify the language which says this money can now be used for Edgewood and Carlson Park. Now, if sometime in the future we want to go to the Washington Circle area or Kennedy Colony or the Schofield area, we'd have to modify it again. Or if council wants to modify that now, we could. But right now, it's modifying it so that Edgewood and Carlson Park, that these funds can be used towards those things. Hopefully, you can see what it is and why I'm asking that they be modified tonight. You had also asked that we set up a meeting with Aiken Corporation so that you could talk to them in general about a number of subjects. We want that meeting also because right now the railroad depot is beginning to have some construction, and we staff need some guidance as to how are the bills going to be paid for the railroad depot. Eventually we're going to own the railroad depot, but right now everything's running through Aiken Corporation just like the theater did at one time. And you want us to have some construction management on it, overseeing it, sign off on the invoices. You know, we need some guidance from you as to how do you want us involved as that project is being constructed. So there's a number of reasons why we need to meet with Aiken Corporation. But since we're going to be spending money literally this week on Carlson Park and maybe Edgewood in the next couple of weeks, I wanted to get this started. Of course, you'll have a meeting in 2 weeks when you could either vote on it, or if you feel you don't have enough information, we could delay it. Aiken Corporation is meeting Wednesday. This is their regular meeting. At that meeting, they'll be giving some dates back to myself so that we could go ahead and schedule a meeting with council at that time. So we haven't forgotten about that meeting, and we will go ahead and get something scheduled as soon as possible. But I felt it was important to get these loans modified as quickly as possible so that we can go forward with our grant applications to the state and federal government and be able to start spending some of the money that they have right now available to do this work. So for your consideration tonight, this first one is the first reading of an ordinance to modify the loan agreement with Aiken Corporation for $250,000 to include projects in Edgewood and Carlson Park. Upon your consideration, the second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this ordinance to modify the $250,000 loan agreement to include the Edgewood and Carlson Park area.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, I would just want to make one comment. If I don't know if I know you've made the case for a sense of urgency on these two issues, but I hope it would maybe put some added impetus to have us meet with Aiken Corporation sooner rather than later.
Yes.
At least between the first and second reading. Reading between the lines. I hope that's your game plan, Roger. But I'll certainly support first reading.
Absolutely. Any other discussion? If not, show hands. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay. Item 2 is first reading of ordinance to modify the $67,500 loan agreement with Aiken Corporation. Mr. LeDuc, please.
I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance authorizing the Aiken Corporation to borrow $67,500 from the City of Aiken for the purpose of financing the renovation of housing in the Carlson Park and Edgewood sections of Aiken. I don't feel I really need to say anything more since we said it all in the first one. So this is the first reading to modify the loan agreement with Aiken Corporation, and upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Move for approval, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay, any discussion?
I should have asked this earlier. Are the projects on Chesterfield Street completed?
We have not had anyone come to us. And when you look at the what they call Exhibit A, it really goes from Hampton Avenue down to Richland and from Newberry Street over to York Street. And essentially, they're completed. It doesn't mean that someone may not come in at a future date and maybe ask for another one to be modified. But I would say that 90% of the properties that we were hoping on getting redeveloped have been completed. They did about 12 homes there.
Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Excuse me. Passes unanimously.
You have someone who wanted to speak to it, I think.
Yes, ma'am. Yep, Bernice. I do think that what we're doing, well, you're coming up, is a good thing that we look at these like this. You know, in modifications when it appears that it's needed to be done, and we should. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Ann Dix. I stay at 314 Jahasi Drive, Aiken, South Carolina. And just a point of clarification on both of these first readings. The amount is this the amount $250,000 and $67,500. Is that's not renewed annually. That's just the amount that they will use up, and then they come back and petition. I just want something.
This money is rolled over. They lend the money out, and then they get the money back in. Or in the case of Tool Hill, they built houses with this money. Once the houses were sold, they got the money back. Then they built another house. They got the money back, and they built another house.
Okay, so it's like revolving is that they lend it out, get it back, and they just still use that amount, but they never.
So we have given them around $400,000, and they still have $400,000. But they've used it several times over to build houses and to see houses get renewed.
Okay, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Okay, item three is first reading of an ordinance to amend the York Street Water Tower Attachment Lease Agreement. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, the title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving a lease of space on the York Street Water Tower to Bell South Personnel Communications, Inc. For a number of years now, for 9 years to be exact, they have, if you look at the very top of the tank, there's a metal circle up there, and inside that metal circle are antennas, and at the very bottom of the tank, there's some large cabinetry that holds the communications. This is at the very top of the tank for the cell phone use that everybody has. They now feel that they need two additional antennas up there, and they have 12 now, so that'll make 14. The original agreement was up to 12. They are asking for two more. It was a little under $1,000 for each antenna originally, and so we felt a fair agreement would be an additional $2,000 per year for the use of this space. Again, you don't even see these antennas because they're behind that shroud that they put up there on top of the tank. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend the tower attachment lease agreement with AT&T for the lease of the tank. On your consideration, the second reading of public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
Are they going to have to build more at the bottom?
No. They could still use that same cabinetry.
I'm just a sociology major, and I don't understand. I always thought that these antennas were sort of spread out in a given area to provide equal coverage. Can you explain why they need 14 of them all in one area?
I would only can make the assumption, and I'm not a telecommunications person either, is that each one has a certain amount of capacity for the number of units. AT&T doesn't own all of these. They lease out some of them.
Okay.
We have other locations, and you're correct. These antennas have a certain circumference or radius that they go ahead and provide power to the units that they're working in conjunction with. We have another lease agreement. I know near our water facility at Town Creek Road and Silver Bluff, they and I'm not too sure who they is, but another one was put up by Dunnigan's near where Jay Watts is building right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other scattered throughout the city.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yeah. If they can piggyback on each other, then I guess that makes sense. I know when the Dunnigan's went up, there was a lot of concern about that because of the unsightliness of it, right in the middle, and the county just deferred taking action until those antennas were up. It seemed to me, anyway. So,
Mr. Mayor, the question that I had is in reading our minutes and our information. The statement was made that this is a fair and equitable arrangement or agreement, and I have no basis. I don't know how to determine whether that's fair and equitable. How do we determine that? Because someone says it's fair and equitable? Or
back in 2000, when we originally came up with the agreement that we're basing this all off of, this was the going price at that time that other communities throughout the United States were charging for the use of their antenna or water tanks or whatever they were leasing to them. In the last couple of years, we have gotten letters from every one of the providers saying, well, you know, we've consolidated now and we're thinking about eliminating duplication and we're thinking about eliminating yours. Will you take a reduced price? And my answer has always been, no. If you don't like our location, remove your equipment. And one has. I feel that if anything, today's market would be that because there's not as much need as there once was because there's not as many companies, you're going to see less and less antennas, and the price per location is going to probably drop. This per case, so they wanted to stay here, and we just felt based on price per antenna, it seemed like a fair amount.
Fair market.
Very good. Any other comments? If not, show hands, please. Okay. passes unanimously on first reading. Item 4 is approval of the City Council goals for 2009-10 fiscal year. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. At our council retreat, there were a number of goals that you came up with our, which are attached for your information and for your approval. We hopefully captured everything that council said at the time. We do have 14 goals. Some are repeat from last year. The first one with Hitchcock Woods is a repeat. The second one is a repeat going from Doherty to Publix. The third one in Edgewood, construction of new homes, that's a repeat. Number 4 is a repeat. Number 5. And then we get down to number 6, which is a new goal, which is undertaking a sustainability activities both internally, where we will go ahead and put together probably 15 to 20 employees looking internally on ways we could go ahead and save energy and find ways to make our operations more sustainable and better for the long-term future. Number 7, again, is a repeat from what we had before. Number 8 is going ahead and taking the report that Mr. Parker gave us and actually going to the Recreation Commission and having them identify and put into some order the projects to come back to you, looking at the pricing and looking at the listing. They could always get some additional help on that, but right now I'll be going back to the Recreation Commission. Number 9 is a new goal. Well, actually, it's an existing goal. We just changed it a little bit more because we're right now ready to start the implementation stages. Number 10 is the 175th celebration. You'll be having a little bit more information on that later in the package. Number 11 is somewhat of a new goal in that we're looking at this youth activity center. Pete Frommer is heading that up to look at that along with a number of other community leaders and youth in the community. From that, we hope to get together a more of a, we've struggled for years having a youth leadership council because youth get interested for a year or two and then they're gone. And in a year or two, it's hard to go ahead and have any traction and long-term stability with that. But hopefully through the Youth Activity Center, we will get that longer stability with the youth. Number 12 is the City Wellness Initiative that you asked us to include, educational program, getting information out to citizens. Number 13 is again a new goal, looking with the Aiken seniors, determine what measures we need to take that will more than likely involve having a task force or some other role. We will be bringing this through the Planning Commission, through Ed Evans' office, and getting guidance from the Planning Commission as to what they feel should be the next step. And number 14 is we need to get together a listing of projects for the next local option sales tax to you, hopefully by the end of this year. So those are the 14 goals you have presented before you. You can certainly always add goals, delete some of these goals, or modify them in any way you'd like.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to make a comment and then a motion if it's all right.
Okay, sure.
I think there are some really good goals here, but I just want to point out to everybody listening that they're not prioritized.
That's correct.
They're not in the order that we are actually going to look at these. It's just that we had to put them down, and they fell in this particular order with the repeat ones coming first. But they are, I think, some very meaningful goals and would like to move for the adoption of these goals for fiscal year 2009-2010.
Okay, thank you, Beverly.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay, any other discussion? I think we all agree with Beverly on her comments there.
She's correct.
She's correct. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Passage unanimously. Okay, item 5, approval of the appointment of the ministerial recorder. Mr. Leduc, please.
It's hard to believe, but in the latter part of 2004, you created a new position of a ministerial recorder, and this individual assists and helps public safety in many, 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 many ways. Everything that we hoped would happen with this position has happened even more so. Crystal McKinney was hired in 2005, and again, it seems like it was just like yesterday, at least to me, but for her it probably seems like many, many years ago, and she's out there tonight in the audience. But the way it's written up is every 4 years we need to have her reappointed, or to have whoever's going to be in that position reappoint their position. So she is here tonight, and we're asking City Council, she's done an excellent job, to reappoint her for another four-year term.
Does she agree?
Please.
Yes. Thank you for the job you've done, Crystal, very much. Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the reappointment of
okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second also. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you, Crystal. Item 6, resolution supporting the 175th Celebration Committee. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. We wanted to get City Council's formal approval and recognition of everything that's being done on the 175th, and that is what we have before tonight. You see a layout of what is envisioned to happen with each of these areas and committees. And before Richard and the mayor starts looking at this in more depth, wanted to get your approval on it, and also to mention to each of you that if you or a friend or a spouse would like to volunteer to be on one of these committees, or with the 175th celebration, a neighbor, we would certainly like you to fill out the application. And we put a couple of them each of your desks, so that, and we got plenty more if you would like some. And with that, I'd like to call on Richard Pierce to say some more things about this and then see if there's any comments that you may have.
Pardon me. Thanks, Roger. About 2 weeks ago in this room, we had a focus group. We did a brainstorming session about some of the different events that we could celebrate in the year 2010. We had over 40 people here and had a good about an hour and a half conversation, don't you think, Mayor? And there's a lot of excitement about the 175th, and even since that meeting, I've probably gotten in two dozen more applications by interested folks. So with this cadre of over 50 people who want to volunteer their time, we came before you tonight with a resolution, number one, to support the celebration, but number two, I'll let the mayor act as honorary chair of the steering committee so we can take this vast resource of folks who are interested in doing so many different things and organize the steering committee and the subcommittee so they can begin their planning this year, because even though the first celebration is probably a little less than a year away, time's a waste, and then we need to get to work and get planning on this. We certainly, through the different quarters, will have a kickoff party, a city event, at least one city event each quarter, so that would be four events. But what we're finding is a lot of folks in the community are stepping up, and they would like to incorporate the 175th celebration into what they do at their festivals. For example, I had a call last week, and folks at Aiken Golf Club are talking about a potential golf tournament at Aiken Golf Club and the Palmetto, celebrating the 175th anniversary with a golf tournament at the two oldest courses in town. And again, folks are just calling with ideas, so we need to kind of take that energy and channel it. So we hope you'll support this resolution.
Let me just back up what Richard said. We had a very good meeting. Don was there, and it was exciting. We had a mic, and we let everybody spoke, and I didn't think we were going to get out of there on time. As a matter of fact, there were so many thoughts and ideas that were thrown up and put on paper. And so we're excited about it, and I know you are too. But we do need to move ahead, And there are a lot of things that will be resolved, a lot of little details and what have you, that will be resolved as we move forward and start talking, get the steering committee together and start talking about the various things that we need to do. But Richard has laid it out well, and I appreciate all the work he's done on this. And I partnered with him a little bit, but Richard has been up front there. And I appreciate that, and he'll stay there too, no doubt about it. So, any questions you have, or feel free to. We'll try to answer them. You may not know the answer right now, but we'll have them as we move forward. These little pieces that kind of hang off here from each committee. Therefore, subcommittees that we will have. And I worked a little bit, Lee and I did, on the 150th, and they were probably, looking at that brochure, and I didn't count all the people up because they were very fine print, if you remember it. Some of you remember that. And there must have been 1,000, maybe 800 to 1,000 people that were involved in some way in that. And so anyway... If there are no questions or comments at this time, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Now, any comment? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. That passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I bring up just...
Certainly.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Before we close out, I do have... some appointments to make.
Okay, good. Roger was just going to mention that.
Oh, okay. I would like to reappoint Marilyn Brown to the Environmental Committee. And also Mary Barnett to the Park Commission. They're both excited about serving again, so I'd like to reappoint them.
Okay.
Any other ones?
Anybody else?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend the reappointment of Charles Newton III to the Environmental Committee.
Very good. Okay. Okay, these will be on our agenda next meeting.
I can talk about Keith for a minute. I would like to mention that Keith Shaver, who's been serving on the Community Development Committee for personal reasons, has had to resign. So I will be looking for someone who can contribute to that committee. Keith has done a very good job, I think, in the past few years. And I'm sorry... He's had to leave, but he has family situations.
Oh, okay. Is he having to leave town or just the
No, community? He's here, but his mother just died and his father has Alzheimer's. He's moving her here. He feels he's just got too much in his mind.
Yeah, okay. All right.
One other item, and I don't know, Roger, I don't know whether we want to address this today at another meeting. I've been getting quite a few calls from the Tools Hill area, the property that we own on Hampton Avenue and McCormick Street, mm-hmm. in the corner. What are the plans for that site? And whether the seniors facility is totally out.
If council, this is the site that used to have those little apartment units on it, next backs up to the cemetery on one side. We tried to locate some senior housing on that site. It's only 1.7 acres, which seems like a lot, but because of the, even with high multifamily density, we could only get 28 units in there. And for it to become self-sufficient, where you could have some... enough quantity of units where you could have someone being there at least half the time to provide programs and assistance to these individuals, you need at least 40 units. About a month and a half ago, Second Baptist came in here and asked, they had their plan modified, that's behind Aiken High School. And that would be, we're looking at that as the new location because it has more than enough acreage to get 40 or more units and then have an adult care center attached to it. So we've been concentrating our efforts in that area. We've asked Steve Smith, who's an architect, to come up some design drawings instead for single family or attached housing, a nice looking units on that Hampton McCormick that could be for anybody. And so he's coming up with a design that we could put in there. What we have right now would be a very narrow street going in. It'd be basically like a one-way street, about 14 feet wide, because we don't want to lose the trees, and then locate a number of houses along in that area. And when I say a number of houses, we're probably talking way less than 10 houses in there for that area. But the senior center is probably not viable for that particular area. Okay. Just because of the number of units. If we could get more property in there, but we can't because we're bounded by the cemetery on one side and housing already on the other side. Just not large enough. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
I would just like to bring up one thing, and I mentioned it to a couple of council members just to kind of get your feelings on it. But at the retreat, you asked that we try to find a way to let the businesses here in Aiken understand that the economic times are very difficult, and to also to let them know that we appreciate them being inside the city of Aiken. And you had asked us to take a look at our business license to see if there's some way we could lower the amount that they pay that would make it, just let them know that we care and we're trying. We looked at that a number of ways, and like every good thought and idea, you start running into the state laws governing business licenses. You start running into the legal areas. So we think we have come up with something as good, maybe even better, because the other thing that bothered us when we start playing around with the numbers on taking it from you pay a certain minimum for the first 2,000. And then raising that to 5,000 or 10,000 or even higher, the businesses outside the city pay twice the business license. So they got twice the incentive of the businesses inside the city. So we're actually rewarding the businesses outside the city and not really rewarding the ones inside as much. So we'd like to throw out a potential idea, and please talk to me at some time if you have some thoughts on it. But call it a business incentive program. And the business incentive program would be that every business that's currently located inside the city would receive an incentive. And we could just make the same incentive for every business, or we could do it based on the number of years they're been inside the city. In other words, if you've been inside the city, let's say 3 years, you get $25 back. Or we'd write you a check for $25. If it's 5 years, it's $50. 7 years, it's $75. And then if you've been there 7 more years, then it would be $100. And at least then they would each have to just fill out 3 lines. Name of the business, an address, how many years you've been inside the city, and then we'd send you back a check after they applied for their business license in July. And at least that way they would get something meaningful back. It also says, you know, like you've been loyal to the city for a number of years, and the more years you've been with us, the higher the amount you'll get back. But that's what we're thinking about right now. It's a very easy program to implement. We don't have to make software changes, make a number of other ways to look at it. And still says, I believe, to the businesses, like you want it, we care. We understand. We appreciate everything you've done. So that's what we're looking at right now. If that's the direction the council would like us to be going,
I don't understand your statement that businesses outside the city pay twice the business license excise tax as businesses in the city.
Okay.
I mean, our friends own a business outside the city, and they don't pay a business license excise tax.
If they're doing any businesses inside the city of Aiken, they have to pay a license. And we charge individuals outside, again, based on the amount of business they're doing here, twice what a business inside the city would be paying.
That's if they have a mobile business or something like
that. That's correct.
If they have a business with a building outside the city limits, they don't pay it.
That is correct. But anybody who does, of our business licenses that we have, over half of them are outside the city. You know, and especially it's the plumbers, the contractors, individuals that come in here and maybe do some cleaning business, or landscaping business, or anything else. And because they're located outside the city, we say you have to pay twice as much as the ones inside the city. So when we start calculating the incentives of something going back, we have to treat everybody the same. And so they get twice the reward than the person inside. So that's all we're trying to do is find a way to reward those inside the city in the easiest manner possible. Okay. We don't have to do it based on the number of years they've been here, but we just thought that might be a nice way of looking at it.
Several things occurs to me as you're speaking. If I may, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly.
One, I'm asking myself, do we have the resources to return, and how much are we talking about in terms of business? If you're doing $25, $50, it may not be that much to even question it. Secondly, is this the appropriate means of saying thank you? If I were a business owner, I'd say, hey, reduce my taxes and my millage rate or something of that sort. So something needs to be done, but what is appropriate is what I'm resting with right now in terms of what is the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, when we first brought this up, and you're probably going to think I'm a C-SPAN junkie, but I had the idea we were talking about something targeted, timely, and temporary, which is the buzzword of the day, especially in Washington. But I think we originally started with the idea of recognizing that we're in an economic downturn, and is there some way we could help business on a temporary basis? Ultimately, we know we're going to get through this and return to growth. But you raise some interesting issues. The last session for the municipal election course I get next Wednesday that I take is going to be on business taxes and licenses. But I guess we're hamstrung by the state. Would we be if we just say they were going to get a 1% or 5% credit on what they paid? Would that be illegal?
Yeah, you can't rebate back taxes.
You can't.
They
okay.
consider this a tax.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. No, and so you can't rebate back taxes.
So the only way is to come up with.
And that's why going from 2,000 to a minimum 5,000, you're not rebating back; you're just changing your structure. But again, the more we looked into it, one, you'd have to raise it to such a level to really make a difference. And most of the money we then saw was going to the outside businesses, and it's really not helping the inside businesses whatsoever.
Well, I don't know that we were talking about pitting inside or outside against one another. I think we were talking about helping businesses, and the businesses that are outside the city, I mean, they do help the residents of the city, obviously, by coming in to provide services. I'd love to get an estimate of how much money you're talking about if you did something like
this. The answer to the question here is, we're talking... Well, it depends on how you want to look at it. To me, it's a significant amount, $150,000 to $200,000. Yeah. So, we're looking at, and just to make a comparison on that, if you want to look at it, that's the equivalency of having 4, 5, 6 staff members, officers out there on the street. But again, if we want to make a difference, this is an easy approach to make it. And again, whether you want to tie it to the number of years they've been here or not, it wasn't the amount of money you were trying to give, because obviously is $50 or $100 going to make a difference of business staying?
No.
You're going
to no.
No, it's not, but it's the thought behind it.
It's just a token on our part to provide some support, as small as it might be.
How many businesses are we taxing? How many businesses do we tax?
There's altogether probably about 4,000. About half of them are inside the city. A little more than half are outside. A little less than half are inside.
To me, as I look at it, it seems like
such a small thing, it's it's not much of a token at all.
You know, I think it's a wonderful thought, and we do appreciate all of our businesses, obviously, and that's the backbone of our city, the economic engine of our state and all that. But like you just said, Dick, $100, even $200 we give to a big business, and I know they would appreciate it, but what else are they going to think? Thanks. This is really going to help me. And again, where's the money coming from? We've got some positions we're not hiring for. We're cutting back on this, that, and the other thing. And is it the time to be doing this? I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I think I'd want to think about it a little bit more, though.
And I'm bringing it to you now because we're trying to come up with a budget that you all would like to hopefully will agree with and meet the needs that you have. Currently, we do have 7 positions that we're not filling. You know, they're temporarily frozen. We do have a number of part-time positions that we're not going to fill this summer. And they've been told already that there will not be any new positions next year. And unless that vehicle you're in is ready to fall apart, we're going to this needs to be replaced, you know, we're not going to do that either. You know, we're freezing most of our capital improvements that that we have had in the past. Because this year we're going to be falling about $1 million or about 5% below our revenue projections. You know, and we explained this all at the council retreat. So, but again, we've been looking at different means because we do take what you bring up very seriously, and I understand where you're coming from with the businesses because we'd like to say something more to them also. Conversely, we had said at the last couple of different budgets we had that we were going to go ahead and increase the commercial garbage fees for businesses, and this would be our last year that increase to make it a break-even operation. So on one hand, we're talking about saying, here's some money back, but the other hand, we're going to be saying to the small businesses, and it's quite a bit small businesses, we're going to have to raise your garbage fee by $50 to $75 during the year probably.
It makes no sense to me at all. I think, why don't we host them? Why don't we have a big party, so to speak, or a reception of some sort, and invite the businesses to come.
Well, my thought is to take out a full page ad, list those businesses, and say we thank these businesses for their. That's too. I'm thinking of the least.
I think what I don't know, but to me, if this is something you were asked to look at, I don't mind you looking at it and bring it back to us what you can do, because I thought that was the original premise under which you made your statements. But if you have studied it already and it looks dismal for us, I don't know how we could cut services short to provide anything else other than if you want to give them something. What about the proposed increase in the garbage rate? That might be a better thing to give them if that's something you feel like we can afford. But we would need to look. We would need to see numbers and amounts to know whether we can even do this. And so I thought maybe you wanted permission to look at it further. But it sounds like you've studied it pretty good already.
Given what Roger has stated regarding the approximate cost of this. If you ask any business person, I think if they would mind, if they had a choice between getting $50 or $100 and saving someone's job, they're going to say save that person's job with their benefits. So, or hire someone.
I'd still like to suggest that we find out for those who live in the city what is the median of what they pay. Where is the median actually? And then we could look at something, how meaningful it is up to the median as opposed to those at a higher level. If you've got 50 or 100 might be pretty good to the people in the lower half, and it could be insignificant to the upper half, is what I'm getting at. But you still pay it to all of them.
Yeah. Again, this is to businesses only, though.
Yes.
Okay.
But the trash thing, I think, doesn't even cover, I doubt that it covers near the same number of businesses.
No, the garbage and the trash is for about, Larry, you call how many businesses we pick up, about 300-400 businesses a week, or?
We had a few more than 400, that's about it.
Yeah. So again, we're talking 1,800-1,900 businesses with the licenses versus 300 or 400. And that's, I said, you know, the $70,000-$80,000 that we have to raise up that last final push. When you spread that over those few businesses, they're going to be actually paying a lot more than the rebate. But you know, they get that every month, and they don't see it as much as when they just all of a sudden get a check. Again, we're willing to sit down and do whatever council wants. And maybe I'm asking these questions prematurely, but I'd like you to be at least thinking about it, because we're certainly thinking about it, and we're trying to figure out how best to balance the budget in what's going to be a difficult year. And you ask, can we afford to do it? I don't know if it's a case of can we afford to do it or not afford to do it. It's a case of how do you want to reach out to the local businesses. We checked the website to see what other communities around the country might be doing, to see if there is something unique being done by some other community. We couldn't find anything. The only thing we found was Portland, Oregon is going to a system similar to what we have, where we try to change the base a little bit. Charleston is doing something a little bit different. They're bringing in speakers on a regular basis to come and talk to the businesses. They're looking at things like outdoor cafes. Like right now, if you don't know it, we charge outdoor cafes a fee once a year to be able to have tables out on the street. So they're negating those costs. And you know, there might be some other things, but that's only going to affect a few businesses that are out there.
I thought when we talked about this, we were talking about a temporary thing. We were talking about even considering our reserve funds, because it is a temporary thing. And you didn't mention that tonight, really. I mean, I wasn't talking about eliminating police jobs, for goodness sakes. And I don't think that's what we want to do.
Yeah, say that.
And I just think that when July 1st rolls around, I'm guaranteeing you from June, when that notice goes out, I don't hear about anything else when I shop downtown except that business license excise tax is due in July. I guess it's the 30th, isn't it, or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if we have a reserve fund and these people are major contributors to that fund because they have commercial property, because they have employees, because they have all sorts of things going on, that that we need to think, you know, about what we can do, not eliminating other people's jobs. That's not ever what I suggested. But look at reserve funds that we have, because they don't have reserve funds, a lot of people right now. And I don't think $100 would mean a thing, frankly. It's got to be something substantial to make a difference. I think that's almost an insult. And
so you don't think $100 is enough?
No. And I don't think an ad, I don't think an ad in the paper. It would just burn me up to think that we bought an ad in the paper, frankly, on that as a taxpayer, as one who pays his tax. You know, I think we need to really look at something special that's not something we're going to do all the time. And we know that, and see what comes from it.
Well, I find it a little hard to, when we look at the budget, Roger's already mentioned a few things. My concern is always public safety first, and I know we have some slots that are not being filled in public safety. And while you might say, well, it's okay, we can get by.
I never said that.
If we have slots, to me, that means you need those people. If we don't have empty slots, then we don't need those people. That's the way I personally look at it. And I think to be safe and our public safety keeps our businesses as well as us safe. So to me, that comes first. and I find it hard to spend a lot of money on anything else until we've got public safety up to speed and with all the manpower they need. And if we don't need those slots filled, let's do away with them. We don't need them. But if we do need them, and I think we do, I don't think they'd be slots if we didn't need them. And so that's the way I feel about it. I've always felt, and we all do, I know that. If we're not safe in this city, then everything else we do is to no avail. We've got people have got to know that they're safe to go around our city. I mean, we have a safe city, mostly compared to many others. But
Mr. Mayor, excuse
yes.
me.
Yeah.
I kind of want to piggyback on what Charleston may be doing, bringing in speakers, but would it be a bad idea to host gatherings, periodic gatherings of your business people to discuss innovative ways that they could improve business practices and to just let them network? If the chamber is not already doing that, you know, I think it's worth it to get your small businesses together and let them hammer out ways that they could stay in business and improve the marketing and those kinds of things. That you'd be surprised at what one business person may be doing to keep the business up and the other is not. And then if they could have a sharing of ideas.
Partner with the chamber on something like
yeah,
that.
You know, it just...
It's a partnership, too.
It would be something, and it would be, I think, meaningful if you get the right topics.
Beverly, the chamber has been doing that this year, and mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, there's every month there's one coming up, maybe the 20th of February at Hounds Lake. That's they're bringing in a speaker, and they make it very affordable. And then in January they had SCORE. Doing some seminars there okay. at the chamber, which I don't even think there was a cost involved in that. So this is something that they are doing as an ongoing, and as a matter of fact, there's not an upcharge for a non-chamber member to attend these, so it's not like it's just for chamber members only. And I think that is very beneficial and helpful. Mayor, I totally agree with you. You know, with Jane, you know, safety is an issue, and that's something that, you know, at all costs we've got to protect that. But, you know, on the other hand, I also realize that, you know, throughout our community, it is the small businesses that support this community, that make this community the great community that it is. And a lot of these are mom-and-pop operations. A lot of these, unfortunately, some of these folks can't leave in the middle of a day to go attend a seminar because they're the only ones there in the store. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, you know, if there's any possible way that we can reach out to these people in whatever way we can, you know, to help them and say, you know, we're here with you. We understand what you're going through. And, you know, it's our desire for you to know how much we appreciate you and appreciate your hanging in here and fighting and making donations and supporting this city in the way that you have. Whatever means we can do that. You know, we threw out initially this because we're all bombarded, or I know Jane and I both get calls all the time about business license and the rate and the fees. And you know, that was just something that struck a chord with us. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, and I think we just want to open this thing up and have some good discussion about ways that we could potentially reach out to our businesses and the ones who are here in the city and the ones who do support all of the nonprofit organizations that are here. That's where all the donations come from, or the bulk of them come from these small businesses. And I know on a daily basis there's someone walking in my store, you know, whether it's the Women's Heart Board or, you know, whomever it may be. But they come over and over and over again, and we support this community, and that's all the small businesses do. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm wanting to reach out and and say, listen, we really appreciate you. We know you're struggling. We know it's tough. And, you know, hang in here with us. And if it's just, it's not going to mean, we can't give them enough money to make sure that this business is going to succeed, but we can give them some encouragement. And that's what I'm looking at.
I agree with you, Don, and that's why I suggested this. At least we ought to have some more facts about the median of what people are paying, because that does give us an idea of whether the amount we're giving is significant at all. I mean, if the minimum anybody is paying is $2,000 or $3,000, then $50 looks like a real pittance to me. But and then it might be better to look for something else. But I'd really like to see where the median is.
Two things real quickly. The chamber has what's called First Friday, and that's the first Friday of every month. There's normally a huge turnout. It's for breakfast. Everybody in the room stand up and tell who they are. If they want to give a quick little few seconds about their business and what their business is doing, that's great. I've learned so much about who's involved in what business that I didn't know existed in this town. So that is normally very well attended. The other thing that struck me as you were speaking, Dick, was you were saying we need to say thank you. I think Don uttered that as well. It doesn't hurt to say it on our city channel. We thank, in bold letters, we thank our small business. And I know that you may think a thank you is just too minimal, but it doesn't ever hurt to say thank you, and small businesses seeing us say, as a city council, as a body, we appreciate your existence in the city of Aiken. So
I would just make two comments. The First Friday is an excellent program. It's for chamber members. I enjoyed it when I was eligible to go, but it is for chamber members. And I'd like to clarify this issue of public safety. I did not leave Horizons with the idea that we are so poor that we're not filling public safety slots. I did recall a discussion on the Mounted Patrol and it not being used at the present time, but could we clarify how many slots we have vacant in public safety and why and what they are?
We have three slots that are not filled right now.
And any of those Mounted Patrol?
Those would be the two Mounted Patrol and then one other position.
Okay.
I just want to say that I think what the chamber is doing is really wonderful, but if we could, in addition to using our TV channel to highlight businesses, if we could offer some business that's struggling or just pull one out of the hat, and in every month when you do your publication, put something in writing for the ordinary citizens to know that this business is in the town. Because when you go to a chamber meeting, all of them are chamber members, and they're all business people, and it doesn't really reach the consumers. And so if we could find a way to help them be known in the community, that then maybe that would help. And one of the ways is we're already publishing something in the water bill every month, and maybe we could just do something in there, save some space for a business or two, and give them the address and what kind of business they're in, and then the ordinary people or the consumers will get that information. Because I guarantee you there are probably businesses in town that I don't know about. And it might be that there are other people in that situation. So I think what the chamber is doing is wonderful, that they're already doing that. But how can we help recognize, not so much recognize, but help the consumers know that these businesses exist and what they have to offer, I think would be good. And I think in a publication it might be an added bonus to have that in print.
If you're looking at a ways that we could maybe help businesses without looking at this incentive program, and if you think advertising would help, we could certainly go ahead and work with the chamber and try to, you know, we at one time had a program called Shop Aiken First. You know, because a large amount of dollars are going to Augusta area or other areas, And again, I think most of that, though, is from the North Augusta area, but I know that some people still shop. But, you know, try to get those facts out. Maybe there's some way we could do some advertising or something that would be for all the businesses here in Aiken. And again, I'm just looking for ideas right now. I'm looking for ways that to, you know, as you've asked, and I do know that the businesses, like everybody else, is hurting to some degree. So if you think that would help in any way, bringing speakers in would help in any way, or if you want us to continue going forward and look at this incentive program, we could certainly do any of those things. I just am looking for some guidance and direction.
Well, I think you ought to continue to look and bring things back to us, bring your ideas back to us. I think it's worth looking at. If you've already determined that it's too costly, you know, look at some other ways we can work with it.
Okay. And let me just, you know, because this was mentioned about the reserves. When we talk about our reserves are in things like money that we set aside for future equipment, mm-hmm. money we set aside for future vehicles, money we set aside for our buildings, money we set aside for computers and other operations. So the reserve, in other words, we have the money sitting there, but it is for future, looking out forward as to what our needs are going to be. What we were planning on doing and what we are going to have to do to go ahead and get a balanced budget next year is not putting as much money aside for future equipment. Like, we're going to suspend all of our line items for building depreciation. Well, building depreciation's there so that, for instance, public safety has $50,000 a year that we set aside is for continued maintenance and improvements at public safety. Well, it just means that we won't have it there, and in future years we need some of that money, then we may have to just take it out of the budget as a not out of the reserves. I've already told the department heads that that front-end loader that cost you, Larry, $350,000, you're going to have to make that run another year longer and find a way to do that. So there might be a little bit higher maintenance item, but we won't buy that piece of vehicle or equipment. And so we're not going to fund the reserves as much, and that's what we're doing this year and next year. And therefore, the reserve level that we have right now for those future items is going to lower on down. It's not like we have a source of money just sitting there in a savings account that has no ties to it whatsoever. The reserves are there for fairly specific items. And so just so you know, and that's why typically when council says, can we do certain things, yeah, we could find some money in some of these reserves to do most of these things. That's how we were able to go ahead and take like Rye Patch and come up with $1 million, because we had been saving them in a reserve account for a number of years and building up that account until we had enough money to do the Rye Patch. Right now we are 7 individuals or positions. And so, you know, and again, don't get the misnomer that we're going to let people go, because that's not the intent. We're not going to let people go. It's just when a position comes open, if we feel we can get by not filling it at this point in time, we're not filling it. And so there are 7 positions right now that we're not filling. And those will continue into next year. And as other people may be leaving the city or retiring, then we'll look at, do we fill those positions or not? Or do we go ahead and delay filling them for a number of months? And Mr. Mayor, you had brought up the fact that with public safety, the next time we have a position that comes open, Pete and I will certainly look at that and determine, well, is that something we need to fill right away? We have how many people in academy right now? 3 people are in academy, and they'll be getting out fairly shortly, and so they'll be filling in 3 slots of individuals. But again, we're looking at ways that we can go ahead in this tight economy to meet balanced budget. We can't print money like we do on the national level. We wish we could at times, but actually that's really not a long term, that's not good. But I believe there's something out there that we can do for business without breaking the bank, so to speak. But it's got to be meaningful in a way that we don't want them to get this check and go,
right,
why'd you even bother? You know, it's almost like an insult to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so maybe it's not getting that check. Maybe there is some things. Maybe advertisement would be a way of doing it that we could partner. you know, you have a small business, I don't know if that would help or not, a lot more advertising. You know, are people going and buying paint in Augusta or some other place that we don't want them to? But again, please let me know your suggestions. I know I've gotten calls from or emails from several of you. If you have thoughts, we'll look at all of those to see what we could do.
Okay, anything else? If not, we are adjourned. Beverly. How about you? I tell you what, we've got a number.